And I want to talk to you this morning about just keeping on. Hallelujah. Just keeping on. And I want to talk about three areas that we need to make strong determination in so that we don't fail, so that we can make heaven our home. Praise God. I started out living for the Lord many, many years ago. The song said that. I was a child when I first came to the Lord. And I messed around a few years when I was a teen, but I came back to God at the age of 16 years old. And I've been endeavoring to live for God ever since. I'm 63 years old now. And I would not take anything for my journey now. Amen. It's getting better. And the coming of the Lord is nearer than when we first believed. And so we need to be pressing forward and making strong determinations in our heart. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Esther this morning. It's one of the books in the Bible that the name of God is not mentioned. It's kind of like, in English, there is what they call "you understood" in a sentence. It's not there, but it's understood to be there. And that's the way the book of Esther is. And if you'd like to stand with me just for a moment, we'll read just a few verses of Scripture, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Esther, the fourth chapter. And we'll start reading with verse 12. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Praise God. Would you lift your hand this morning and let's ask God's anointing upon our hearts, upon his word this morning, and let him speak to us today. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts have felt your presence, Lord. God, we have prayed and we have talked to you, Lord. And now, God, we ask you to speak to us, O God. We have sang to you, Lord, and we have spoken our heart's voice to you, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, we ask you to speak to us, Lord, from your word. Let the anointed word of God come into our hearts, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, speak to every heart that's here and meet the needs, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. I pray for Brother Turner this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen his body. I pray, Lord, that you'll lift him up and encourage him this morning. Touch this pancreas, Lord, and restore it, Lord, to health, I pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, O God, for the healing virtue of the mighty God to flow through his body right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you this in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and shake their hand and say, don't give up. Don't give in. And don't give out. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give in. And don't give out. Praise God. This story here in the book of Esther is a wonderful story. This is in a time when the children of Israel had been carried away captive, and this certain man, Mordecai, had taken in his niece. She was actually, Mordecai was her uncle, and her mother and father probably had died when Nebuchadnezzar had come and taken over Jerusalem. She was left as an orphan. It reminds me in the New Testament where Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Amen. I will come to you. Amen. The word comfortless there means orphan, orphanos. And so God certainly was not going to leave this young maiden as an orphan. Somebody came and picked her up and carried her. Amen. Brought her to a place of destiny. You see, I believe every one of us have a plan charted out by God for our lives. And He wants us to accomplish that. He wants us to fulfill that purpose. Sometimes we, and Brother Turner said it just before service, you know, we only see just maybe a step or so as we go on the way. The journey is long and the journey is hard. And sometimes we do not see what's around the next curve, maybe even the next moment. But we press on by faith because we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. Hallelujah. And Esther was cared for by this man, and it so happened that the king was in the process of replacing the queen. I won't go into all the details of this story, but nevertheless, it so happened that Esther was chosen to be the queen in place of all the other maidens that were in all the land of Babylon and Shushan, the palace of all the provinces that was ruled by this great king. She was the one chosen. Now, was that an accident? No, it was the plan of God. And so here she is in the king's palace as the queen, and she can only come into the king's presence if he extends the scepter. And she had been chosen supremely above all of them, but she, at this point in the time that we read, she had not seen the king for 30 days. It so happened that there was a man in the kingdom by the name of Haman, and he had ordered that all the Jews, through the authority of the king, all the Jewish people would be killed. And so Mordecai had told Esther not to betray her lineage and who she was unto everybody. But when this began to come out, he told her, he says, don't think that you're going to escape this. Even your family will be destroyed. Even you will be destroyed because of this great edict that has come out from the king. Even though she was queen of the land, when they found out that she was a Jew, she would be killed just like the rest of them. And so Mordecai spoke these words unto her, think not thyself, in verse 13, that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, God will raise somebody else up that will do what you needed to do. But it would be better if you do what you need to do. Amen. And that's kind of the way we are this morning. If I fail to do what God wants me to do, God's purpose and His overall plan is still going to be accomplished. I may not be a part of that, but there will somebody come up and take my place if I don't do what I need to do. So I want to make sure that I get my shoes on and get in the saddle and do what I need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I want to do what God has designed for me to do. Praise God. We need to purpose that in our hearts, that we do what God has designed for us to do. Mordecai said to her, who knoweth but that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Amen. We're in trying times right now. It's difficult times. laws are changing that are changing the approach toward Christianity. And there are aggressions that are being taken toward us that have just become more and more bold. But God's not looking now for us to be weak. God's now looking for us to be strong. Just like Esther, she was in a position where she could make a difference. And I believe that we as Christians today are in a position that we still can make a difference. Jesus said that we are a city that is set upon a hill. We are a light that cannot be hidden. We are like the salt of the earth. Amen. I believe that we can still make a change and a difference in our circumstances if we will just allow God to use us where we are. Praise God. Sometimes we would like to say, well, I'd rather be someplace else and being really moved and motivated and do something over here, over there. But God has planted us where we are. And so I'm going to do what I can do right here, right now. Praise God. I talked to a man yesterday. My computer had given me some problems, and I was at a computer store, and he was fixing my computer, and in the process of that, he asked me, he said, "You're not from around here, are you?" I said, "No." "You don't sound like it." And I'm not. I'm originally from Illinois. My family's from the South, and so I've got a Midwestern Southern fusion here going on. Everybody thinks that I've got an accent, but I don't have an accent. Everybody else. But anyway, he said, "Well, what brought you here?" I said, "Well, I came here many years ago as a missionary to start a church." And he asked me what kind, and I told him. And he just began to open up. Amen. I had no intentions of going in there and testifying to anybody. When I was just wanting to get my computer fixed. But God allowed me to speak to that man. And whatever happens with that, you know, all we can do sometimes is plant a seed. All we can do is plant a seed. And that's what I did. But Esther was in a position where she could make a difference. She was in a high position. And she wisely approached the king, because she knew she could not approach him unless the scepter was extended. She fasted and prayed for 3 days along with all the people of Israel. And then she went in and she prepared a banquet for the king. She didn't even make her request that first time. And she said, as it went over so well, she said, "Let's do this again tomorrow." She also had invited her enemy in, who was Haman, who was trying to kill Mordecai and all the other Jews. And she even invited him in to that banquet. And he was kind of all puffed up about it, because she had invited him, and he was in the presence of the king and the queen. And he thought he was really hot stuff. But she did it again the next day, and then finally brought forth her petition and said what was going on, and revealed what was taking place. And in the course of all this, Haman fell upon her as the king was pondering what he should do with this man that was trying to kill all these people, because he had issued an edict, a law that could not be changed. And as he turned around, he sees Haman falling upon Esther's bed, and he said, "What are you doing here?" And all of a sudden, the tables turned. And now Haman is facing the gallows that he had raised up for Mordecai, because fasting and prayer had gone up and their hearts were prepared ahead of time. You see, she was in a place, in a position where she could make a difference. Who knows but that you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Because of that, the Jewish people were saved. The great judgment that would have come against them was stopped in its tracks because of one person that was in a position that could make a difference. Praise God. I can't testify to the people that Sister Day can testify to. I can't speak to the people that Brother Turner can speak to. I can't speak to the people that you can speak to. But you're in a position, you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. Praise God. And so God has planted us here and there, everywhere, so that we can do something for the kingdom of God. So let's talk about some things here. There's some things we need to determine in our hearts. And one of them is that we should not give up. Praise God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 14. Deuteronomy 23 and 14. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. This scripture tells us that it's supposed to be that the enemy gives up. Hallelujah. We should not be the ones giving up. Can you say amen? Amen. The Lord's going to give up your enemy into your hands. Amen. That's what exactly what happened in Esther's case and the Jews' case. The Lord gave up the enemy into their hands because they fasted and they prayed. Don't give up. Don't let your dreams die. Don't let your desires or your aspirations. Brother White was talking last Sunday about the desire for revival and the desire to see the church filled. Don't give up that dream. Don't give up that hope. Brother Jess, don't give up the hope and confidence that God can heal your body. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let your aspirations and your past failures cause you to not press forward. Amen. Don't give in to fear, criticism, or intimidation. I remember years ago when I was much younger, and I was intimidated by so many things. I was very shy and backward, and in a whole lot of ways I'm still that way. But I have pushed through some of that. And by the Holy Ghost and by the power of God, I've been able to press through some of my backwardness and just stand up and be bold when I needed to be bold. Praise God. And that's what God is wanting us to do. Amen. Don't give up. Consider this here. A great man in history. In 1832, he lost his job. In 1832, he ran for state legislature and lost. In 1833, he failed in a business venture. In 1835, his fiancée died. In 1836, he suffered a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he ran for Speaker of the State Senate and lost. In 1843, he ran for Congress and lost. In 1849, he applied for the post of land office and he was rejected. In 1854, he ran for the Senate and lost. In 1856, he ran for Vice President and lost. I'm talking about a loser here. But if you take a change, a handful of change out, you find a penny, his face is on our penny. His name was Abraham Lincoln. He did not give up. Even when everybody else was against him, he did not give up. He ran for president in 1860, and he was elected president of the United States. And because of him, the Negro slaves were set free in this country. In spite of a great civil war, and in spite of the fact that he was later assassinated, he came to this country for such a time as what God wanted him to be. Amen. He did not give up. He did not give up. He pressed on. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need to press on. I need to press on. Amen. Reminds me of the story of Thomas Edison and all the failures he had in trying to create a light bulb. 1,000 times he failed in finding a filament that would burn and not burn up. He failed 1,000 times, but finally he found the filament that would burn and give off light and not burn up. Amen. And he's the father of all the electrical appliances that we've got today. Yeah. But he did not give up. He kept pressing on. Amen. And we could turn and look at all the circumstances that have come across our life. And we could offer every kind of excuse that we want to offer. But if we will just get down in our gut and say, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going on. Hallelujah. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on. Amen. I, you know, it's like David when he was, all of his family had been captured and his city was burnt down. The Bible says he reached down, you know, and I just kind of picture him picking himself up by the bootstraps. He encouraged himself. Amen. In the Lord. Amen. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking here this morning. I'm talking about the power of you and I making a strong determination in our heart. There's an old song in the hymnal. I almost sang it this morning. I am determined to hold out to the end. I am determined. Amen. I would not take anything from my journey now. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on. I'm going to press on. Why? Because it's worth the journey. That's exactly what I told a young man yesterday that was working on my computer. I said, you know, the search that we have in our life to press toward God, it's a journey. It's a journey of discovering truth, a discovery all along the way, and we just keep traveling. Amen. I'm not finished yet. The Apostle Paul, he says, I'm forgetting the things that are behind me, and I'm pressing on to the mark. I press to the prize of the calling of Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm going to keep going on. You know, just a few days, the Winter Olympics is going to take place. And all these athletes have been training and training. And many of them have gone through heartache and failure and failure. And they just keep coming back because they're striving for that little medal that's going to hang around their neck, that little piece of gold. But my friend, what we're striving for is so much more than a band of gold that hangs around our neck. Placed upon our head, and we're going to have eternal life if we just keep pressing on. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give up. The next thing we need to do this morning is not give in. Determine not to give in. Well, that's almost like giving up, but giving in. Take a look at Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew 16 and 26. It says, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's a lot of people that have given in to something in exchange for their soul. They've given in. They've let down their standards. They've let down their morals. They've let down their aspirations and their goals. And they've given in for something of lesser value. Something of lesser value. Don't give in. Don't give in. The Bible talks about in the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 4, that the children of Israel, they were discouraged because of the way. The way got hard. Well, I guess Abraham Lincoln, his way could have been considered pretty hard. Pretty hard. I found out in some of my research that I'm actually very closely connected to Abraham Lincoln. When he left Kentucky to go to Indiana and then on into Illinois when he was just a young man, my family owned a store in Kentucky. He actually worked there and stayed the last night at my family's house before he moved to Indiana and later on to Illinois. So I can connect with this man here just a little bit. I did that through some research in Ancestry.com. I've been very fascinated by that. But that's neither here nor there. But we don't need to give in. We don't need to give in. Don't give in. That means we're not going to compromise. I remember my pastor many years ago, Brother Vanny Haggard. He was a man about this tall. He had shoulders about this wide. His hand was twice as big as my hand. But I can remember him preaching and saying, don't compromise. Don't compromise. He used to preach an old message about removing the ancient landmarks. Do not remove the ancient landmarks. Amen. And there's been a lot of people that have done that over the past many years. They've let landmarks that have stood for something, they've let them go by the way. You know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they crossed the river of Jordan, they came across that river miraculously. And the Bible tells us how that Joshua told them to take stones out of the middle of the river and take them over to the bank of the river and also to pile up stones in the middle of the river so that when the children grew up later on, they would say, what does these stones mean? They would be able to say, this is where God brought us across the river of Jordan on dry ground. Hallelujah. Don't forget where you came from. Hallelujah. Don't forget what we stand for. Don't forget what we as Christians hold dear to our hearts. Why? Because these are our landmarks. Do not give in. Do not budge an inch on what God has given to us. We need to go back and take back the things that the devil has stolen from us. Amen. We need to claim back the things that the devil has stolen from us. We're not going to cave in to superficial religious things that masquerade as supposedly true Christianity. We're not going to yield to the pressure to conform to the religious status quo. We're going to be real. Praise God. I preached here a few weeks ago about real true worship. Amen. I want my worship to be genuine. I want my worship to be real. I want my walk with God to be real. Hallelujah. I'm going to maintain my integrity. I'm going to be the man that God called me to be in a time like this. God has brought me to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. I want to talk about Martin Luther just for a moment. Not Martin Luther King. We celebrated his birthday just a few days ago. Martin Luther was ordered by his superiors in the medieval church to stop preaching that a person could be saved apart from the church through personal faith in Jesus Christ. Luther believed that he had discovered truth and he refused to give in. He was then ordered to appear before a tribunal of both religious and civil authorities. If he was found guilty of heresy, he would be put to death. There was tremendous pressure on Martin Luther just to give in. Cave in. Stop preaching what you're preaching. He was preaching justification by faith. He went to the church in Wittenberg, Germany, and on Halloween Day, he nailed a thesis to the door. 95 complaints that he had against the church that was they were doing things wrong, and he was standing on that. He was the father of the Reformation. He is the one that started what we call the Protestant movement. But he did not give in. Luther appeared before this tribunal, made up of cardinals and bishops and princes and the emperor himself. His tracts and his books and his sermons were spread on a table before him, and he was asked if these were his writings. Luther looked at them and he answered, "Yes, these are mine." He didn't deny them. Hallelujah. He did not deny them. He was ordered to recant. Publicly confess that he had preached and he had preached in error. Luther replied that he was willing to recant if he could be convinced by the scriptures and reasonable argument that he was in error. Otherwise, he said, "I will not recant." What was he doing? He was standing on the word of God. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall not pass away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was brought before the tribunal several times in this manner. He was put under some tremendous pressure, but he adamantly refused every time. At the final hearing, as it was winding down, Luther repeated his stand that he was willing to recant if he could be shown from the scripture by reasonable argument that he was in error. He was just standing his ground. But if not, he would not recant. He said these words, "My conscience would not allow me to do otherwise. It is not wise to do or say anything that is contrary to one's conscience." He had a voice that was speaking to him from inside, stronger than all the pressure that was out there. And he said, "I'm going to stand up." Somehow the Holy Ghost was driving a great big saw log right down his spine. There was no way that man was going to bend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He ended his final statement with the words, "I can do no other. Here I stand, so help me God." Praise God. Here I stand. There's people in the Bible that I see just like that. Stephen in his defense before the council. Amen. He went, one of the best Bible studies you'll find is in that defense right there. He takes you all the way through the Old Testament right there. Just a simple little Bible study. But they ended up stoning him to death anyway. But he did not give in. Amen. Luther didn't give in. He was released and returned to his home in Wittenberg. While the tribunal decided his fate, after brief deliberations, they issued a statement declaring Luther to be a heretic and a fugitive from the law. Anyone knowing of his whereabouts was to report such information to the authorities so Luther could be arrested and brought to justice. His books and his sermons were ordered to be confiscated and burned. Luther was never arrested because of his refusal to compromise truth. It produced such a groundswell of support from among the people that the masses began to rise up. They had heard his messages. They had heard his preaching. They heard something from the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word shall not pass away. When you preach what the Bible says, amen, it will stand, my friend. It will give you the ability to stand and not give up. Hallelujah. Amen. Luther's idea of justification by faith and the priesthood of all believers and the freedom of conscience, it spread across Europe like wildfire. It was the very basis upon what caused this country here to be established, because people kept finding more and more and more truth. And the pilgrims that came, the Puritans that came from Europe, they came here because they wanted to stand on what they believed and had faith in their hearts. Praise God. It just so happens also that some of my family, in my family heritage, on my mother's side, her name was Hicks. The second ship that landed at Mayflower, at Plymouth Rock, after the Mayflower landed in 1620 in Massachusetts. Robert Hicks was on that boat. Amen. I've got some pretty deep roots here that go pretty deep. Hallelujah. Amen. They came to this country because they did not give in. They came here before there was a country, before there was a United States. They came here and said, "We will worship God after the dictates of our own heart. We will not be told by the king or anybody else how we're going to worship." Praise God. They didn't give in. Amen. I'm here today because Robert Hicks got on a boat and left a land that was secure and safe. And he came here for liberty to worship God. Hallelujah. Somebody did not give in. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't give in. Don't give in." Hallelujah. Amen. Don't give in. Don't compromise who you are and the message that God has given you to hold fast to. Amen. Hold fast to the Word of God. Never deny it. Don't give out. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't give out. Don't give out." Turn to Mark chapter 6 and 31. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. I'm going to finish here very soon. But I'm not going to give out. It's not because I don't have anything else to say. It's not because I'm giving in or giving up. Because I believe you're receiving what I'm saying today. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Verse 30, let's read. "And the apostles gathered themselves together with Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. If you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. Amen. My wife, by the time we get on the road to go home, we got about an hour and a half to get back home. She'll be napping on the way home. And when we get in the back door, so there's two things she's going to do. One of them, she's going to take her coat off. The other one, I'm not going to say. And then the third thing she's going to do, she's going to go to the couch and cuddle up in her snuggie, and she's going to take a nap. Some Sundays we don't get home until late, and she misses that Sunday noon after Sunday afternoon nap. But you know what Jesus said? He told his disciples, after they had been out doing all the work that they had been doing, they recounted what they had done and what they had taught. Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Sometimes we feel like that what we're doing for God, we just got to get rip-roaring at it and go for it 90 miles an hour and just full blast all the time. But God created nighttime. The beginning of the creation, the evening and the morning were the first day. He created the night and he created the day. He intended for us to sleep and rest. He even created a day of rest. And he purposely put this in the Word of God as these disciples were going out and doing the work that he had appointed them to do. He had delegated them. He had put his hands upon them. He had put his power upon them. He had put his anointing upon them. He had given them the power to do what they were doing, and they had done it well. They came back rejoicing even. And he said, now come apart. Separate yourselves. Come apart. Amen. You're either going to come apart or you're going to come apart. Amen. You're going to. Have you ever seen people come unglued? Yeah, literally, they come unglued. The thing that holds us together is finding a place of rest in the presence of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That's what holds us together. There's a place inside of me and you that's the shape of Jesus Christ, and it can only be filled by his presence. That's why I come to church, because I can feel the presence of God when I come into the house of God, with the people of God. I come into a place where the holy Shekinah glory of God comes. There's healing and there's refreshing and restoration. And God just pours into my hungry, thirsty soul, and he fills my soul with all of his presence. Praise God. And we need that. We need that on a personal level. We need that on a daily basis. Amen. Many, many people that I know and that you have known have literally come apart because they did not come apart in fine place of rest and strengthening again with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ron McIntosh, he was chaplain at Oral Roberts University, says that the number one killer of revival is the lack of rest. A lack of rest. History bears that out. 2 years after launching into one of the most remarkable miracle ministries in any generation, there was a man by the name of William Branham, used mightily of God, had to withdraw from his ministry because of nervous exhaustion, totally. His body could not stand it. Amen. His body could not stand it. He didn't take care of himself. Jack Coe, He preached to crowds numbering in thousands in the 1950s, but he died at the age of 38 because he did not take care of his body. He gave out. He literally gave out. His body couldn't handle it. There are so many examples like that that we find. People just literally burn the candle at both ends. But we need to find a place of balance. Can you say amen? We need a place of balance. Yes, we need to go after everything we can for God with all that we've got. But when we need to rest, we don't need to feel guilty by taking a rest. Amen. Brother Turner, don't you feel bad? Because God has allowed you this time. He doesn't want you to come apart. He wants to heal you.
Thank you, Lord.
You're a great man of God. There's yet many messages that God wants you to speak. There's many souls that God's going to bless through your ministry and through the ministry of this church. And he wants to encourage you this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants to encourage you this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let his arms wrap around you and refresh you and restore you today. Hallelujah. 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 I feel the Holy Ghost here. I hesitated speaking this morning about this particular part of it, but I felt that I need to go ahead and say what I said this morning. There's a woman by the name of Frieda Lindsay. She was the co-founder and president of Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. At the time this was written, she was 91 years old, still going strong. Up until recently, she still drove her own car. She continued to work at her office every day. When she sits down at her desk, things are happening. Things start hopping because she is there. But she learned how to pace herself. These people that are going to the Olympics, particularly in the Summer Olympics when there's marathons and things going, people have to learn to pace themselves. And even these that are in the Winter Olympics, they know that in a race, they may be behind somebody that's ahead of them. But as they pace themselves and they pace themselves, they know at just the right moment, they're able to shoot around and gain the advantage. And through pacing themselves, they are able to gain the victory. Amen. Sometimes it's just that time when you're just regaining some strength, regaining some hope, regaining some vision. Amen. At just the right moment, God thrusts you to the place of great victory. Who knows but that we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. She learned at an early age, this woman, when she had tuberculosis, they had given her only 18 months to live. She learned to pace herself. Her husband and her parents, they prayed for her, and she was miraculously healed at 18 years old of tuberculosis. But she noticed that the symptoms would return when she overworked herself and became exhausted. And so she began to pace herself. She always took a little siesta in the afternoon. Everybody say, thank God for afternoon naps. I think the Spanish people have it right. The siesta. Amen. Amen. She learned to pace herself. And her work would pile up when she might be taking a nap. But when she got up from that nap, she was able to go in and attack what she needs to take care of and go forward. Amen. She wasn't burning out. She was refueling herself in doing that. I believe that's what family devotion and personal devotion does for us on a regular basis. We need to rest our body, but we need to rest our spirit and rest our mind and our soul and get close to God. Amen. I heard of a woman that was had a family that she was trying to raise. Her husband had gone or was dead or something, and she was working two jobs, and she would come in from her day job and she would prepare a few things for children to eat, and she would go in and lay down on the couch, and she would hold a fork in her hand, and she would lay there until her body relaxed and that fork fell from her hand. And then she got up and went to her next job and worked several hours, but it was like her body was being completely rejuvenated in that short length of time. Amen. A few minutes in the presence of God can restore our soul. Can you say amen? Amen. I found that to be so true in my life. Just a few minutes in His presence. That doesn't mean I'm not talking to God during the day, but there's times when I just need a few moments alone with the Lord. Alone with the Lord. And I feel the refreshing and the renewing and the reviving and the restoring that I need in my heart. Sometimes I get tired. I feel pain to where I'm not supposed to be hurting. Amen. I feel weary where I didn't even know I was tired. And God just restores. Amen. He restoreth my soul. Anytime you see the word in the Bible, in the King James Version, and it says ETH after it, that means it continues to go on. He restoreth. He continues to restore and restore and restore. Come apart, He said. Come apart with me. Come away. Come away into that secret place. My wife has a daughter that passed away several years ago. She's actually the reason why my wife is in church today. And when Diane came to the Lord down in Texas, she got on a plane and came up and taught my wife a Bible study, found my name in the phone book, and brought my wife to church. We weren't married at that time, obviously. My wife came into church because of her. But Diane had gotten some good, solid teaching from the Word of God. Somebody had told her the necessity of having a devotion time. A time of devotion with God. She came up to visit my wife at a family reunion, I believe it was. And in our house, we have a tiny little closet by the front door for coats to hang there. And my wife heard a noise. Diane had literally got into that closet and closed the door and was down on her knees praying to God. Hallelujah. She died just 3 years shortly after she got in the church, just a very short time. But that girl had a walk with God. She died of leukemia, but she didn't come apart spiritually. She didn't give up. Her body gave out, but her spirit did not give out. Amen. What she has in her is going to cause her to rise up to meet the Lord and meet the Lord when the rapture takes place. Amen. And that's what we need to do this morning. We don't need to give in. We don't need to give up. We don't need to give out. We need to find a place in God where we're finding refreshing and restoring so that when that trumpet calls, we're going to be able to finish this journey and we're going to be able to stand before the Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Praise God. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Jesus did not give up. He was born to a mother that, by all standards of that day, was a harlot. She was not a harlot, but people looked at her because she was pregnant before she was married. By law, she should have been stoned. See, he suffered intimidation, and then When he began to preach, the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. He did not give in. And finally, after 3.5 years, they took him to the cross. They beat him mercilessly. His form was changed so that no man could have even recognized him. His visage was marred, the Bible says. And he stood there as they did all these things to him, and he did not utter a word, speaking in his own defense. He was carrying my sins and your sins upon himself. He became the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He died for us. He did not give in to the intimidation of the threats of the Pharisees, all the selfish suggestions of others. You know, Jesus said at one point, he said, my time has not yet come. He knew when his time was. And when he stood before Pilate and they pronounced upon him that judgment, away with him, crucify him, Jesus went to that cross, carried that cross. He did not give in. He did not fail. He went all the way to the point where they nailed his hands and his feet. They pierced him in the side, and out came blood and water. He went all the way to the grave and all the way to the gates of hell. He has the keys of death and of hell, and he rose triumphantly over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. He did not give up. He did not give in. He did not give out. Amen. And my friend, the Bible tells us that they were first called Christians in Antioch, and ever since that time, people that follow Jesus have been called Christians. There's no place in being a Christian where we should give up, give in, or give out. Can you say amen? I'm a Christian. I chose to follow Christ. I chose. I'm going to follow in his footsteps. A few years ago, you know, there was a book that was very popular, and they began wearing those bracelets, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Amen. Well, he didn't give out. He didn't give in, and he didn't give up. And this is a place for us to stand up as real Christians, as real soldiers of the cross, and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? By the grace of God, I'm going to stand and be what God wants me to be. Praise God. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Feel the presence of God here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's not many of us here. Maybe we could just come and stand here close to the altar at the close of this service this morning. Amen. Brother Turner, you don't have to move right there. I just want the folks to get a little closer. You can stay right where you're at if you want to. Amen. I'd like us just to take each other's hands. Amen. And let's just make a determination in our hearts together that we're not going to give up. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of them. He's here this morning. The angels of God are standing right behind you and around you. Hallelujah. There's healing here. There's salvation here. There's restoration. There's victory here. Hallelujah. God brought you here this morning because he wants you to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for every soul that's in this building this morning. Those that are not here, I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen this church, O God. Lord God, I rebuke the power of the enemy that would discourage and cause fear and intimidation. I rebuke the power of sickness and disease, and I loose the power of healing and victory in this place this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we will not give up, Lord. We will not give in, and we're not going to give out, Lord. We have come apart this day, O Lord, into your presence for the refreshing and the restoration that your presence brings, O God. And now, God, healing and victory and revival, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray for every soul in this building, Lord, for our families, for our loved ones, for those that are in need this morning, Jesus. Lord God, you're our refuge and you're our strength. You become our strong tower. Oh, Lord, we run into your name and we are safe, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'd like you to gather around Brother Turner right now. Let's just pray that God will strengthen him and Sister Turner. Amen. Let's pray God's blessing, a provision and meeting of all the needs that are in this situation that they're in right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you. in the Bible, you know, natural mother and father is a little less.